Good morning, everyone. I'm in Luke chapter 20, verse 41 this morning. If you have your Bible with you and you'd like to turn there, I want to speak to you for a little while on this subject, David's son and Lord. From Luke 20, 41, and he said unto them, that is the Lord Jesus said to the religious Jews, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Now all of the different factions of the Jewish religion, the Sadducees and the chief priests and scribes and the Pharisees, they had all confronted the Lord with questions, trying to get him to say something that they could use against him. In verse 40, it says that because of the wisdom and rebuking nature of his answers, that they dared not ask him any more questions. The word durst there, they durst not ask him, it means to be bold, not to dread or shun through fear. But it's followed by the word not. Because of who he is and what he said to them, they were no longer bold. And they dreaded and shunned through fear to ask him any more questions. But then our Lord asks them a question. And think about this. We know why they asked what they did. In verse 20, it says that they wanted to put him out of business. We see that there. They asked him what they did, not to seek truth from God's Son. Think about that. They had God Almighty in human flesh before them. They didn't seek any truth from him. They didn't have a legitimate question for him. But they asked what they did in order to get rid of him. Why do you think the Lord asked his question of them? Well, we know that he did always those things that pleased his Father. He did everything and said everything he did to glorify his Father. And one other difference between their questions and his question and their motives and his. Their questions, when you think about their questions, what difference did it really make? Somebody, they said, married seven times, and so whose wife is that going to be in heaven? Really? Is that the question you have for God? His question is vital in nature. If you don't know who he is, you don't have any hope. His question is essential. And he asks it for the glory of God and for the good of his sheep. You are eternally lost if you don't know the answer to his question. And he asks questions. Our Lord always asks questions, not to get information. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He asks questions to cause people to consider the answer. When he said, Adam, where are you in the garden? It wasn't that he didn't know where Adam was. It caused Adam to consider, look where I am. I was in perfect fellowship with God, and look at me now. Remember what is written in John 20 and verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. The Lord Jesus Christ said a lot of things when he was in the flesh on this earth, in his perfect flesh, as God, the Son of Man, as well as the Son of God. When he walked on this earth, he said a lot of things that aren't recorded in this book. He did a lot of things that aren't recorded in this book. The next verse, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The way that our Lord asked this question is recorded in more detail in Matthew 22:41. It says this there, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now think about that. What think ye of Christ? This gets to the essence of why they asked him all the questions they did. They asked him what they asked him because they hated him and wanted to put him out of business. And so he asked them flat out. It's like, Adam, where are you? What think ye of Christ? How can God Almighty come down here in human flesh and you have such contempt? How can the perfect one, the only one who did nothing ever, only always but good, how can you utterly have nothing but contempt for him? What think ye of Christ? It exposed their hearts. But also, think about this. There are a lot of things that the Lord could have said after he asked, what think ye of Christ? Instead of saying, whose son is he? He could have said, what think ye of Christ? What did he come to do? That's a good question too. What think ye of Christ? Where did he come from? That'd been a good question. What think ye of Christ? What does he preach? What is his message? What is he saying? All important questions, but again, we see what we've seen in all of our studies in the scriptures. Who he is makes what he did what it is. Everybody believes that a Jesus died on a cross somewhere. The question is, who died on Calvary? Who he is makes where he came from what it is. Paul said, I have a desire to depart here and be with him, which is, that's what makes that better than this. I'm with him there. The gospel message, now Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. Who he is makes the gospel what it is. It's not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean anything unless you know who is this Jesus called the Christ. Whose son is he? That's the question. And their answer is instructive. They said he's David's son. That's factually true. That's historically accurate. And it also utterly misses the point. The point. And in actuality, though it is true, it's also a lie. Now, how can that be true? How can it be true and a lie, Chris? Well, if somebody asked you what I preach, and you said, well, Chris preaches that baptism does not save a person. Is that true? I do preach that. I do believe that, and we proclaim it. Baptism doesn't save. That's the ordination of God that pictures how we are saved by Christ, who died and was buried and rose again, and we are raised with him in newness of life. I do preach that. Baptism doesn't save. But is that the truth based on the question? Is that what I preach? Does that really represent the message that we preach? Does it answer the question truthfully? No, it does not. And this answer here that these religious leaders gave, it's revelatory concerning their hope. They prided themselves on knowing the scriptures. They, you know, not everybody would have said what they said. They were able to say it because they knew what the Old Testament said. They knew the scriptures. He's David. He's going to be of the lineage of David. And that was their pride. You search the scriptures, the Lord said, and in them you think you have life. But they are they which testify of me, and you won't come to me. You know the scriptures, but you won't come to me, which is the point of the scriptures. All through God's word, he's saying, come to Christ from start to finish, and you won't come to me that you might have life. The point is, who is this standing in front of you? That's what he's asking them. Simon Peter got it right. Because God Almighty had revealed to him who this was. You remember when the Lord, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they, Elijah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the other prophets. And then the Lord said, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And Simon said, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, how was Simon able to answer the question that way? And these religious leaders now who knew the scriptures way better than Simon, he was just an old fisherman. And they said, well, he's David's son. Why was Simon so smart? Our Lord answered that question in the context. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Simon, but my Father, which is in heaven. We don't know anything about Christ unless it's revealed by God. Now listen, thou art the Christ. This is everything. Again, he told Martha, he said, I am the resurrection. She said, I believe that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection. Christ said, I am the resurrection. Don't look to an event, look to the person. That's the point of our text. I remember in my religious past, you know, the pat answer to the question, what is the gospel? Everybody, you know, it was sort of kind of like a catechism that was, you know, in the so-called church that I was in at that time, which wasn't a church. But the pat answer to that, what is the gospel, is I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the pat answer. But that's not good enough. That's not good enough. The question is, who is he? Who is Jesus? Who is it that died? Who is it that buried? Who is it that rose? Whose son is he? John said in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Religion calls him the Son of Mary. At Christmas, one of my favorite Christmas songs, you know, it says, we give him laud, the babe, the Son of Mary. And I like the song, but I have to change that part. God rhymes with laud better than Mary does, but they sing the Son of Mary anyway. No, let's give him laud, let's praise him, because he's the Son of God. That's who he is. Did you know that our Lord Jesus Christ never called Mary his mother? You ever wonder why he called her woman in the scriptures? It wasn't out of disrespect. He loved his mother. He made sure from the very cross that she was taken care of by his apostle John. But he was just being truthful. Others said to him once, your mother and your brethren are wanting to talk to you. He was inside of someone's house teaching. And somebody came in and said, your mother and your brethren are wanting to talk to you. And he said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he beckoned his hand to those that were sitting there hearing the gospel. And he said, these are my mother and my brethren. This is my family. Those that love the gospel, that hear the word of God, the word of Christ. Do you know why it's that way, why he never called her mother? Religion loves to exalt Mary. Man's religion loves to exalt the saints and Mary and men and women and even people that walk the earth now, they're called father. Do you know that the Lord said in the scripture, don't ever call any man father? Not in a religious sense, not in the matter of worship. Religion exalts Mary in spite of the scriptures, but there's only one worthy to be exalted. Whose son is he? If you ever find out, you'll glorify him as God. And if you don't, you'll perish. This is why John said in 1 John 4:2, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Jesus, God's anointed. The word Christ means the anointed of God. And everybody that believes that Jesus of Nazareth, that despised one that hung on that cross, if you can look to Calvary and see him beaten and abused and bloody, and to all the world a failure, and say, that's my God, that's my King, then you have everlasting life. If Jesus is the Christ, if he's who he said he was, God's Son, then whatever he came to do is done. This is the implication of this now. God's Son can't fail. The scriptures are clear on that. If that's who he is, then whatever he came to do, he did it. Listen to Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. This is the Father speaking of the Son. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He came to save his people from their sins. And you know what he said when he had done that? He said, it's done. It's finished. He accomplished what he came to do. He said, of all that the Father hath given me, I shall lose nothing. He did not fail. He cannot fail because of who he is. He's lost none of those that the Father gave. He's the one that said, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Nebuchadnezzar said, he does as he pleases in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody can stop him or even question him. What did he come to this earth to do? And more importantly, who is he? Who is it that came? He came to save his people. If he's who he said he is, then that's exactly what he did. That's why this question is so vital. He said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know why the Son of Man has that power? Because he's not just the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. He's not just David's son, he's also David's Lord. The Son of Almighty God, the only one against whom sin is, can forgive it. Think about that. How can anybody forgive sin? You've got to be the one that was sinned against. If you owe somebody some money, and I say to the person you owe, they're forgiven, or I say to you, you're forgiven, I'm out of line. Only the one you owe it to can forgive you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ can say, I forgive your sins. Because he's the one we sinned against. He's God Almighty. And also, he can say that on the basis of his shed precious blood that puts away sin. That washes sinners from sin. If he's God, he must be able to do what he does in a righteous way. God is righteous and holy and just and can never be anything but. So his precious blood must be worth enough to ransom the souls of all of his elect from their bondage to God's law, from the righteous condemnation of God upon their souls. Is his blood worth that much? You answer another question for me, and I'll answer that one for you. Is his blood enough to wash you from your sins in the sight of God? Answer this question for me, and I'll answer that one for you. Whose son is he? Whose son is he? If he's the Son of God, then yes. His precious sin-cleansing blood is the one offering for sin that God... He sanctified forever. He perfected forever those that he sanctified with that precious blood. Now, he must be able to represent his people perfectly. He must be perfectly holy, righteous, and glorify God perfectly also. Honor his Father perfectly as the representative of his people. Not only does his offering, his sacrifice, his blood have to be enough, but his righteousness has to be sufficient. There can't be one chink in the armor. Can he do that? Can he live for me? Can he do always those things who please the Father? I don't know. Whose son is he? God himself called him God in Hebrews 1:8. Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And that's why. Because of who he is. And you're going to tell me that he died to save everybody, but he couldn't get it done? You don't know whose son he is if you say that. You're going to tell me he wants to do something, but a sinful, wretched worm won't let him? That a worm of the dust can thwart the will of him who made all things, rules all things, and does as he pleases? Let me ask you again if you think like that. Whose son is he? Whose son is he? All false religion, all heresy, and every idol can be destroyed by a revelation from God concerning this one question. Whose son are we talking about? He who said to Thomas, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, asks every sinner this morning, What think ye of Christ? From his word he asks that question. Does he try or does he do? What think ye of Christ? Did he save everyone he shed his precious blood for? Or did he try and fail? What think ye of Christ? May the words of John be our testimony this morning. Listen, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Now listen, we know this. The Son of God is come and hath given us... He didn't give us a chance. He gave us an understanding that we may know him that is true. The Lord Jesus cried out in John 17, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." He gave us an understanding that we might know him. Not some doctrinal facts, but that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's salvation, to know him, who he is, what he did, why he did it, and where he is right now. And to know this, whatever he came to do, he did it. He accomplished it. He saved his people. Listen to me now. The Lord Jesus asked them this question after they were done asking him a bunch of stuff, to let them know who they were dealing with, and to let us know this morning who we're dealing with. You and I are going to have to do business with God's Son, not sweet little Jesus of religion who's off in a corner waiting on sinners to do something for him. This is God's only begotten, well-beloved, holy, omnipotent, sovereign Son. He said, "I have power on earth to forgive whoever sins I want to forgive." He does as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. And he accomplished salvation when he died on Calvary. He said, "It's finished." He didn't say it's available. He could have said that. He could have said, "I've done all I can do and now it's up to you." But he didn't. He said, "It's finished. Salvation is finished." He asks you this morning, like he did the blind man in John 9, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He asks us, like he did Simon and the disciples in Matthew 16, where we quoted a while ago, "Whom do you say that I am?" He asks us in the words of our text, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And may our answer, by his grace, from our hearts, in faith and full assurance that only he can give, be, "We believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And may we say with that blind man in John 9, "Lord, I believe, I believe." And he worshiped him, and may we also. May we with that leper in Matthew 8 come to him worshiping him as he did also and say, "Lord, if you will." He knew who he was, didn't he? He said, "If you want to, you can make me clean." Whenever a sinner has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ that way, you know what he says? "I will. Be thou clean." And we are. No sinner has ever been saved by their free will. And it's not going to happen. Sinners are saved by his will. If you will, you can. Come to him, believing that Christ is your only righteousness before God, and that he is the only sin offering that can wash your sins away. Come to him, knowing who he is, knowing the answer to this question by his grace. You're not going to know unless he reveals it to you. Our Lord Jesus said, "Lord," when at Lazarus' tomb, he said, "Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes." When the disciples asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, and to them it is not given." May we, by his grace, come to him knowing who he is and say, "Lord, you can make me clean. You can save me. Have mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner." May he, by his grace, make it so. Amen.